Wow. That's something just before you preach, isn't it? That's like angelic host was out there. Praise God. I must be getting ready to say something good. Praise God. That's all right. Thank you, Brother Jack. We needed that this morning. In lieu of coffee, we'll be having that. Praise God. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13. Man, God's good. Man, God's good. Miss Di, I don't see Brother Dale. Where's he at? Oh, boy. Please keep praying for Brother Dale. Got a cold or something. He's coughing pretty good. Make sure you keep praying for him. Keep praying for Miss Di as well. She takes care of him. It's a lot of work, and she's doing a great, great job. Saw Miss Sabo at the senior program. She looked good. She looked like she was getting ready to get something to eat, and praise the Lord for that. So that looked good, and things have been going pretty well. Brother Bob's with us today. Glory to God. He had that procedure done, and I love how they call it procedure. We'll call it surgery, because that was pretty significant that they had done to his foot there. And he's given it all to the Lord. He said, you know what, the Lord's given him more opportunities inside the hospital to witness to people. That's why God keeps putting him back in there, because he keeps witnessing to people. But you never find a more genuine person than Bob Edwards. You really won't. He'll let you know it, exactly what he wants you to know. Doesn't try to pull punches. And God uses him in a great and mighty way. Amen. He really, really does. Keep praying for him. He doesn't have any feeling in his feet. He's got that diabetic neuropathy, I believe they call it. And certainly needs some help from the Lord. Amen. Miss Sonia, too, because she has to put up with him. Praise God. But thank you, Brother Bob, for keeping a great testimony for the Lord, even through some of the tough times you've been going through. Ezekiel, yeah, yeah, your ribbons. Come here. Come here. Yeah, we're going to take time. Jump. Sprint. Run! That's all right. We like that. As long as they're not green.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
This is for backstroke and for breaststroke.
This is for this, what, this one?
This is for backstroke.
This is for backstroke?
And this is for breaststroke.
What if this one was for the backstroke? Man, that would be a mess.
Yeah.
This one's for the breaststroke. Second place. Man, that is awesome. And this is second place in the backstroke. Good job.
And maybe you could squeeze this in next week's bulletin, but I'm in 2 weeks, the 6th and 7th, I'm going to be in Columbus for the state meet. So I'll be praying for me.
Yes. We're going to squeeze it in the bulletin.
Yep.
The state meet, Columbus, 6th and 7th.
Yep.
Amen.
So I won't be there for that morning service. But I'll try to make it for the evening on a 7th.
Well, bless your heart. We're going to pray for you. Good job, Christian. Good job. Good job. Praise the Lord. Good, good swimmer. Take your Bibles, Ezekiel 13. Let's all stand together. Thank you for coming today. Good to see our visitors. Very, very good to see our visitors. We've got a load of people over in the Becca building right now having turkey. I'm not going to try to take this morning because I know that that's got to be just a load of people. But there's good people over there, amen. I guarantee you they're taking care of it very well. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, saying, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." I want to read that verse one more time. "Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Brother Colton, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to say this as kindly as possible, but I got to be truthful. There are very, very few men of God anymore. I'll say that again. There are very, very few men of God anymore. Why do I say that? Well, and I'm going to pick on some people, but I mean no disrespect. I'm just, this is the way it is. You talk about your folks like Joel Osteen, and I know that just ruffles people's feathers like crazy. Boy, as soon as you mention that name, look out. You talk about men like Joyce Myers. You talk about, hey, she's got a deeper voice than I do. You talk about, and by the way, let me help you out a little bit. And I'm not, I know I'm being a little bit ornery, but just stay with me. You know, I got to be honest with you. If men were more manly, she wouldn't have a place. Get mad at me all you want to. I'm not saying she's not bringing comfort to people. I'm telling you she ought not be there. Welcome to church. I'm going to tell you right now, it bothers me that we don't have men today that will go ahead and preach the word. We have men today that will not stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. We have men today that won't bring Jesus Christ to people and show the love of Christ and the love of God in the way that God wants it. And because we won't do that, then we have to have the others. And the others aren't what God wants. In this world, I believe right now, and this may be, I'm making this statistic up. I haven't read this anywhere. I'm just making this up. But I would submit to you that about 98% of the people today standing behind pulpits all across America are these foolish preachers. Why is that? Because they believe they've got something to offer. All I've got to offer is Jesus Christ. I have nothing of myself. I want you to read this with me. We desperately need... Well, Thanksgiving, by the way, is coming up. Praise God. You'll be thanking me later for this message. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, prophesy what? Against. I get sick and tired of people telling me stop talking about people. I am supposed to... I'm commissioned by God to point out what's wrong. I'm commissioned by God to tell you the truth. I wouldn't do it. That's why God didn't put you here. We've got to call out the false prophets. We've got to call out that those go against the Bible. We've got to call them out. Why? So you know that they're wrong. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets. Well, you should never call out a preacher's name in church. I'm telling you what God said. Get mad at me all you want to. You've got to know the truth here. And by the way, don't look at me like, well, you're saying that you're always right. I'm not, all matter of fact. The only time I'm right is when I'm talking about the Lord and giving you thus saith the Lord. Prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God. Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. I personally don't just want to come to church. I personally don't want to waste my time on a Sunday morning coming to church and seeing nothing. I don't want to come to a place where God's not working. I don't want to come to a place where God's not being upheld by His Word. I don't want to come to a place where God's not working in the lives of people. When I come to church, Brother Colton, I want to see something. Not that I have to see something to have faith, but I want to see God working. I want to see God being upheld. I want to see not the man being upheld. I want to see God being upheld. I want to see, and by the way, let me help you out a little bit. My faith doesn't do you a bit of good. You got to have faith in God on your own. You've got to come to grips with God's faith, because what if I falter? Then where's your faith? You've got to be, by the way, I can falter. I could falter. By the way, because I can falter, that leads me to the opinion that, boy, I better be on my best watch. I better be watching what I do as a preacher. I better be watching what I do as a man of God, because let me help you out, I am a man of God. God's called me to do this. It's not something that I chose all on my own. This didn't come of my own spirit. It came of His Spirit. And I do not apologize for being a called man of God. I worry about men that do. I worry about men that said, one of the worst things that ever happened, I'm going to call out John R. Rice's name. Can you do that, preacher, in the midst of these people? John R. Rice? One of the greatest preachers we've ever had was John R. Rice. one of the biggest mistakes he ever had is when he told people, he says, I'm not called, I just kept preaching, and when God told me to stop, then I would stop. Then you missed your calling. Because the calling of God is without repentance. I'm not going to apologize to you about the calling that God has given me. What we've messed up in our lives, the preachers that you read about in the Bible are ornery. They are ornery. They tell what God has told them to tell. And by the way, if we want to see God do some wondrous things, if we want to see it, we've got to get out of our own spirit. We've got to get out of our own heart. We've got to alleviate that from our lives if we want to see God do something. You know what keeps God from doing things in our life? And God wants to, desperately wants to do things. He desperately wants us to see Him work. He desperately wants to be preeminent in our lives. He desperately wants to be all those things. The only thing that stops that from happening is us. The only thing that keeps God from working is us. I want to just talk to you about a few things. I won't be long today, but I am going to reverse this a little bit. Let's read a little bit here. I just want to give you a side note. I worked hard looking some of this stuff up, so I want to go through it real quick. Thus saith the Lord God, verse 3, woe unto the foolish prophets that, by the way, is he proclaiming unto them happiness? You know what woe means? Bad. Not just holding back the head of a horse. It means bad. Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. I looked this up. I like this. Desert foxes. Neatest thing ever. Desert foxes have big ears. They do. Look them up. They have big ears. Do you know why? Because desert foxes, by the way, he compares prophets to desert foxes. I love this. And I might be totally wrong, but at least it's fun. Desert foxes have big ears. Did you know it said right in that thing? They have big ears. They can even hear things going on underground. The Lord compares our preachers of today or of that day, well, I don't think we're a whole lot different, to a desert fox. Big ears. Those big ears hear everything. They even hear what's coming up from under the ground. You know what worries me about preachers today? And I hear that all the time. Well, this person said this in their commentary. This person said to me this, and I believe it to be true, so I went ahead and installed it into my church. Well, the people said, and I heard this, that if you would have some drum sets up here, if you'd have some electric guitars up here, that your church service would be better. I heard that if you drain the baptistry and make that seating, that everything will be all right. I hear that it's better that if you have coffee out in the foyer, that more people will come. Big ears, hear everything, but I got to be honest with you, all the ears I want to hear are coming out of this right here. If it doesn't agree with the Bible, it doesn't agree with me. Not only do they have big ears to listen to everything, they also have the big ears. I don't know how this works. The big ears dissipate the heat that comes out of the desert. I don't know if they go like this all the time and fan themselves. I don't know. But it dissipates the heat that's in the desert. Boy, this is good stuff. It's amazing that preachers today are doing everything they can in the pulpit to get rid of heat. It's amazing that the prophets have no problem today. And boy, there's nothing like the love of God. There's nothing like it. But that cannot be the only thing we ever talk about. I love the fact that Jesus loves me, a sinner, wretched person, a wretched man that I am, Paul says. I understand all those things, but I got to be honest with you. You need to know what God says and wants for your life. You need to know how God is. You need to know what the Bible says. You need to know that God wants you to be very special, and He didn't save you so you could just sit around. Jesus Christ loves you with everything you could even imagine. But I've got to be honest with you. When your child does wrong, do you tell them how much you love them and never tell them that they're doing wrong? Some of you probably do. I don't know. I've seen your children. But when my kids do wrong, they need a whooping. Can I say that in church today? They need a whooping. They need a whooping because that's what the Lord tells them to do. What do you think God feels about you when you do wrong? Should you not just know that you're doing wrong and God's going to take care of it? As we have these prophets of today that are doing everything they can to sell books, doing everything they can to sell prayer cloths, doing everything they can to sell something to you, to talk to you about the love of God, you never find out what the love of God is because they're not preaching to you, thus saith the Lord. They want to dissipate that heat. They're very social animals. You watch these people, boy, they can't wait to be around people. Preachers, and take this for what it's worth, preachers don't have a lot of friends. We don't have a lot of friends because we're nuts. We never agree with anything. We just don't. We're against it immediately. Facebook, I'm against it. What is it? I don't know. I'm against it. Okay? New things of the world, I'm against it. LinkedIn, I'm against it. I don't even know what it is. I'm against it. Why are you against it? I don't like anything that comes from the world. I just don't. I'll let it wear on me maybe someday, but I don't like it. Could it be used for good? Probably, but it won't be. Why? Because it's in the hands of sinners. I am a preacher. We don't have a lot of friends. Why? Because we're weird. And it's hard to have friends that tell you what you're doing wrong. Right? Not many of you have friends like that, by the way. You're so wonderful. You're so great. But then we tell you what's doing wrong. I don't like that church. I don't like that church. You know, the Bible says that the Lord said when you're preaching to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Three different styles of preaching. Rebuking, that's telling you what you're doing wrong. Reproving, that's telling what you're doing wrong. And then exhorting, that's telling you what you did right. 66% of the time we ought to be preaching on sin. That's what God says. Boy, that's not going over well. Should I stop? Very social animals. They like to be around those who they like to be around. By the way, they're omnivores. I like this too. They'll eat anything you feed them. They'll eat anything you feed them. They're desert foxes. They'll eat anything you feed them. Well, I'm going to feed them out of the English version of the whatever it is today, the New English Bible. I'll feed them out of that today. I'll feed them out of, you'll eat anything. I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord has them cornered just right. But if we reverse the tables, I personally don't want to be like these guys. I want to see God work. I don't have to see God work to have faith, but I sure would like to see it. You say, well, Billy Sunday had the tabernacle. Jesus hasn't changed. Well, you say Dr. Hiles had all these baptisms. Jesus hasn't changed. I have to ask you, as I look at these things, it says, you have seen nothing. Well, then what is it then that we can do to see something? O Israel, thy prophets, verse 4, are like the foxes in the deserts, verse 5. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. I get so worried when preachers say, God told me. You know how many preachers out there really have God telling them anything at all? God told me, but they never did open up their Bible. God told me. Well, you had too many pickles last night. Therefore, verse 8, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord. Is that not what the Bible says? Now, let me ask you a question. If we want to see something, and I want to see something, I want to see God do great and wondrous miracles even in this day. I want to see God do something so spectacular that the world has to stand by and say, that must be God. I want to see something more than just a church service week after week, wonderful singing week after week, wonderful playing on the instruments week after week. I want to see more. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be involved. I want to see God do something in people's lives. I want to see God make changes. I want to see God come forward in a big way. And there's how it's going to happen. If the Bible says these things ye have done, that's why I'm not here, then you must believe that if we reverse the tables if we turned it around, then that's what we must need to do to see him. You say, well, faith is without sight. Very good. But I still want to see him. I still want to see lives of teenagers changed. I still want to see lives of adults changed. I still want to see us become Christians. I still want to see great things in our lives. I still want to see the building on infirmary. I still want to see hundreds of people come. I still want to see the buses going out and coming in. I still want to see bus kids getting fed. I still want to see you getting fed. I still want to see the things that God has given. And if we submit ourselves to this chapter, I believe we were wrong. I believe we need to reverse the tables and do what God said here. Look at this. Number one, I believe we need to preach God's heart, not our heart. It says you're doing this out of your own heart. I don't want to do it out of my heart. I want to do what God wants me to do. You say, what is that? You know what it is. There's a light inside of you, that God conscience. And as long as we don't put that light out, we've got every chance in the world to be saved. Once you get saved, that light in you becomes greater. It becomes brighter. Even a saved person, though, I believe, can not extinguish the light, but he certainly can make it a whole lot dimmer. And I believe in your life, you know what you're supposed to do for the Lord, even if it's as simple as handing out a tract, even as if it's just as simple as stopping cussing. Did you hear me speaking out in the parking lot this morning? No, I've been in here all day, but you can come to the altar later. Even if it's as simple as giving up alcohol. Boy, this is not working out, is it? Even if it's as simple as giving up pornography. You say, well, preacher, all those things are hard. They are. They really are. But you know what? If God's with you, can you do it? Mm-hmm. I've got to do what God wants me to do. I've got to preach His heart, not my heart. Number two, we need to follow the Holy Spirit, not our spirit. We need to follow the Holy Spirit, not our spirit. Our spirit would put some guitars up here and drums. Why? So we can have a concert. That's not what God wants. See, that's our heart. Our heart wants to be entertained. God's heart wants us to be fed. Amen? We should follow the Holy Spirit, not our spirit. By the way, look at Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 for this next one. This has been preached a lot of times. I want you to hold your hand there. I want you to read what's coming up here. Verse 5. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Look at what this says over in Ezekiel chapter 22, and we're going to look at verse 30. The Lord says, and I sought for a man among them. And I sought for a man among them. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I'm going to tell you right now, I want to see God do something miraculous. I want to see God do something wonderful. But it's not going to happen with a bunch of slick back wussy preachers. It's not going to come with a bunch of panty waist wearing preachers. It's not going to come with a bunch of milk toast. It's going to come with a bunch of men that are willing to stand in the gap. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm against alcohol. You can come to me all you want to. Well, it's only one drink or two. Hogwash! That's how alcoholics start. They start with one drink. You're not going to convince me that queer life is an alternative lifestyle. Not going to do it. I'm going to stand in the gap and say, this is what God says. He says it's an abomination. I'm going to stand in the gap. You want to see God do something? Let's hold up God. I'm not going to stand by and say, all right, it's all right for your teenagers to start necking and petting all the time. I'm not going to do it. Well, I did, and it turned out all right for me, you dirty, rotten dog. I'm not going to stand by. God didn't call me to let sin go by and me not say anything about it. And by the way, I'm going to submit to you, I don't always call it out. I'm going to tell you right now, that's what God needs today. This type of preaching 100 years ago was common. This was common. I've had people come to me that are elderly folks. By the way, we need you elderly folks. I hope and pray that you stay in the gap. I hope and pray that you stay in the hedge, because we need you elderly folks. Us young people are dumb. We don't know what an icebox is. We don't know what a coal chute is. We don't know what black and white TV is. And some of you know what it was to not have a TV. Back when you sat around and read your Bible. I've had old folks come out there and tell me, "You keep preaching like that. We haven't heard that in a long time." America needs this. You need this. I need this. You'll never convince me. I watched this Vacation Bible School this last year. I really, hey, take it for what it's worth. We had 400 kids in this building, and all we did is preach and played a few games. We didn't have electronic bouncy balls that they could sit there and play on their little handhelds. We didn't have all that kind of stuff. You know what we did? We went ahead and preached Christ. You know our attendance went up every night? More people came. Well, it's not fun anymore. Jesus Christ is beyond emotion. He's beyond that type of stuff. Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. That spirit will draw. By the way, if the church empties out tomorrow and nobody is here, I'm not changing the way that I preach. I'll tell you this. I've been doing this now for a little while, and he taught me everything, so take it for what it's worth. By the way, that would be the greatest honor I could ever have if you told me I was like him. That's the greatest honor I could ever have. That man stood in the gap. That man's built up the hedge right there. You may not like it, but he still built it up, and you'll be glad for the protection someday. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if the deacons march into my office and tell me you're going to stop preaching against the queers. I'm going to tell them stop being one. Hey, get mad at me all you want to. That lifestyle, the Lord calls it an abomination. Go ahead and listen. Go ahead and listen to the world all you want to, but that is destroying America today. You go ahead and talk about wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Well, preacher, I only have once in a while. I only have a little bit for my stomach's sake. You liar. You drink that stuff, you get sick. I've been there. Don't talk to me about it. You're trying to justify what you do. And by the way, you can justify anything that you do. Go ahead. Keep smoking your weed. Hey, it's legal now. We should be able to smoke. What a quandary the world is in right now. Some states, it's legal. Some states, it's not. Man, could you imagine standing in Colorado? Coming over here and getting arrested. I got an idea. Let's just make everything legal. You know, hey, you can't get in trouble. I love that. God made it. God made thorn bushes too. Do you just roll around in them? That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my entire life. God made marijuana. Thank God that you decided that God made that plant so you could hang it upside down, dry it out. You could take, by the way, whoever did this, who figured this out? Hang it upside, dry it out. Once you dry it out, go ahead and smash it up. Roll it in paper, light it on fire, and that's God's intention right there. God, what did you mean when you made marijuana? I wanted you to smoke it. It's the dumbest thing in the whole wide world. The president of Argentina, by the way, I'm standing in the gap right now. That's what I'm doing. I'm telling you it's wrong. I'm telling you I don't care if they legalize it. It's wrong. They've also legalized abortion. It's still murder. President of Argentina comes on. They interviewed him on the TV about drugs. And it wasn't just marijuana. I love watching people that smoke marijuana. I have never had the pleasure physically smoking it, but I've been in a room of people that do. I'm going to tell you right now, you look dumb. You smoked that stuff in, and you turned incoherent to the world. Give me some chips. I'm going to tell you right now, you turn into a person that the devil wants you to be. You turn into a person that the devil wants you to be. Somebody that can't think. Somebody that can't talk. Somebody that, oh, you feel good for a while. You know, I get bothered by this kind of thing because the president of Argentina comes on and says, what we did is this. We just decided among our nation that we were going to make drugs legal of any type. Do you know what? This is awesome. He said, it's worked. Crime is at an all-time low. Apparently, he's smoking dope. I can make hitting people with a car legal. Is that going to make it right? I'm going to tell you right now, I worry about the people of this world because they don't have preachers today. They're getting rid of the Bible. They're getting rid of the thought processes of the Bible. Preachers are afraid to preach it. Preachers are afraid to look you in the face because of how you're looking back. Look back all you want. It's still wrong. I'm not interested in filling pews. I'm interested in filling hearts. I want you to know about Jesus Christ. I want to stand in the gap. I want to build up the hedge. I want our kids to be raised in a world where right is right and wrong is wrong, and there's no mixing them in between. It's wrong to have marijuana legalized. It's wrong to have abortion. It's wrong to have these things. I don't care what the world says. It's all wrong. According to the Word of God, it's wrong. So according to me, it's wrong. And by the way, if according to me, I said it was right, the Bible says it's wrong, it's still wrong. Glory to God. Glad you came. The Lord sought for a man to fill in a gap. He sought for a man to build the hedge. Sadly, and it should bring a tear to your eye, he found none. I'm not going to be like the fellows out on the West Coast right now that are preaching that all that stuff is just fine. Not going to do it. God says it's wrong. It's wrong. We need to stand in the gaps. We need to make and keep that hedge. And the Lord tells us, look at this now. Why do we need to do these things, preacher? Why do we need to do them? Why do we need to stand? Look at this now. Ye have not, verse 5, gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Why do we need to do these things? Because the battle's coming. It's here. Look at, ye have not gone. What do you want to see God do something? This starts out with, you've seen nothing. Why have you seen nothing? Because you've not stood in the gaps. You want to see something? We got to stand in the gaps. Why have you seen nothing? Because you haven't gone up and built the hedge. So we should build the hedge so we can see something. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand. You stand in the gaps, you build up the hedge. You'll be able to stand in the day of the battle. If you want to see something, we're going to have to fight. If you want to see something, if you want to see God do something, what worries me today, because I believe Christians are afraid to see God do something. You're afraid to see God work. You're afraid to change your life a little bit. Preacher, come on. I'm not changing for what you said. I'm going to stand right here and not change. Well, you're going to stand right here and hear about how you should. Not for me. I love you no matter what you do with your life. I love you and care about you. I just want you to know how great God is. And if you can come out from those things and change your life and do what God has asked you to do, it will be the greatest life you will ever lead. I've never heard one person regret a day that they've served God, but I've heard hundreds and hundreds say, I wish and I regret not serving Him and not getting close to Him. You're not going to get close to Him out in that world. You're not going to do it. I don't care who you are, you're not going to do it. You need to get close to God in your life. You need to get close to Christ in your life. By the way, you can't have your mama do it for you. You can't have your dad do it for you. You can't have your preacher do it for you. It's got to be you. You've got to get close to Him. You've got to read that Bible. You've got to care about what's in its pages. You've got to care about what God wants for you. And I promise you, if you'll do those things, build up that hedge, and get right with God, you'll be in that battle as somebody He can use, because the battle is worth fighting. We would never have abortion legalized today if we had Christians that were willing to fight back in those days of Roe v. Wade. Never. You'll never convince me of that. You'd never have any man in any type of politics whatsoever if the Christians would have stood up and kept God in forward, right in front. If we would have kept God there, we'd never have people trying to remove the Ten Commandments over top of the judges' benches. It falls on top of the Christian. It stands with the preachers of God not being willing to say it's wrong what they're doing. That's where it stands. I don't need the tea party. I need God's party. We worry so much, well, change the White House will change the world. Baloney. I don't care what man you put in there. They're all corrupt. Take your pick. Not a good one in a lot. Republican, Tea Party, I don't care. Put the Tea Party. I like some of their ideals, but I promise you put them in there, they'll become corrupt just like everybody else. You need God today. It's not political affiliation. It's Christian affiliation. You study your Bible for 7 seconds, you realize abortion's wrong. You study your Bible for 7 seconds, you realize alcohol is wrong. You study your Bible for 7 seconds, you realize homosexuality is wrong. It doesn't take you long to hear from God and change your life. I want to see God. We're going to have to stand in battle. Preachers fight. I'm going to tell you right now, preachers fight. Preachers fight because they want their people to do right. And not for themselves. For the betterment of everyone, including themselves. We desperately desire godly people. And not just for us. It's for the church and for you and for your children and for generations to follow. We need to stand. And we need to battle. Verse 3 again, just real quick, and I'm going to continue. Thus saith the Lord God. Who's saying? It's not Ezekiel. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets. Woe unto the foolish prophets. Well, this is Old Testament, preacher. Yeah, I need to slap you. To think that the Old Testament is not pertinent to today. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Let's just rip it out and throw it out then. Let's stay with the New Testament. It's dumb. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination, whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. Mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. I'm all done with this. This is where it rises and falls. It really, really does. This may not have been a Sunday morning message, it really not, but I'm going to tell you right now, this is what God told me to tell you today. We need to stop pussyfooting in this world. I don't care if you're sitting in this room today and you're liberal as the day is long. You need to stop pussyfooting in this world. And by the way, those are just the biggies. There's a lot of smallies that we need to deal with too. As Christians in our own lives. In our own lives. See, I try to make everything personal now. There's things I need to deal with in my life too. I'm not coming to you as somebody that does everything right. Believe me, I'm not that person. I am a person that has things that I got to deal with in my life every single day that have to do with this world, that have to do with the cycles that this world can give you and the things that happen in this world. Every person has to deal with it, but I want to fight it. And I search through this Bible and I read my Bible every day because I want to find out what God hath said. This is what you get when you get with me. I will not bring you something that this Bible does not say. Won't not to the best of my ability. I will not do something that this Bible does not say. I will not. Why? I want to see something. I don't want to be a foolish prophet. I don't want to be a lackluster Christian. I don't want to be somebody the world will never remember. Not about me. I want them to see my God. I want them to see my God. How many foolish prophets are in this world today that people are following because it makes them feel good? Let me tell you something. If you want to feel good, do right. Brother Carl and I witnessed to a man and I'm all done. Never forget it. We're on visitation, going house to house. And Brother Carl knew this man. Brother Carl knows everybody. If you go on visitation with him, he knows everybody. Hey, Carl! Everybody knows him. We went up to this man's house. I'll never forget it. Brother Carl, hey, how you doing? The man says, I'm doing good. What church are you going to? I guess he used to come here. And the man says, well, I go to this church over here. I think it's the Bridge Church, something, whatever it is. And you may have been there, and if you have been, I haven't been there. I just know what I heard from him. Oh, yeah, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm playing drums for him. My antenna went, I'm playing drums for him. Carl starts shaking his head. He's so ornery. He starts shaking his head. The guy looks at him, and he says, I'm playing the drums for the Lord. Awesome. And he says this, I'll never forget it. He said, it took me 6 months, did I say that right, 6 months-ish? He said, it took me 6 months for the Lord to give me peace about playing drums in church. 6 months. Well, here I am. What? I have a question. Why did it take God that long to give you peace about playing drums in church? He said, I just know that it ministers to people, and many people have been saved because of it. Because of drums. If you're doing right, God gives you immediate peace. If you're doing wrong, you can get peace about doing wrong, but it's not coming from God. You can justify anything you want to. And by the way, it's amazing what a human can get used to. It's amazing that somebody that one beer made them tipsy now takes 24 to make them tipsy. Why? You got used to it. Your body, and I'll quit with this, I think. Your body is flesh. Your flesh has no desire for the things of God, none whatsoever. It never can. That spirit that dwells in you, though, desperately wants you to. It can't be fleshly. Your spirit, or God's spirit inside of you, if you're saved, that the Holy Spirit inside of you, that spirit doesn't like the flesh. There's your battle. If you constantly tell the spirit, no, 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 eventually the spirit shuts up about it. Alcohol's fine. Alcohol's fine. Alcohol's fine. In the back of your mind saying, no, 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 no. And eventually you stop hearing that. And you just keep doing wrong. And then when your life is a shambles because you're an alcoholic, you say, why did this happen? Because you stop listening to this. I want to be a preacher. I don't want to be a foolish prophet. I really don't. I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to have you come here and not get something from the Bible. I want to give you what God says, not what I say. And you can see, well, you came with an agenda today. I didn't. Yeah, my agenda is to have you hear about God. And God's not pleased with what we're doing as a people. We need to stand and fight against the things that are happening in this world today and not just go along with what everybody's saying. I want to see God. Preacher, I want to see God do something wonderful. I want to see miracles. God has not changed. I want to see lives changed. I want to see people converted. I want to see salvations. I want to see baptisms. I want to see people getting right. I want to see altars filled. Well, we're not going to get that without praying and preaching and talking about God in the way that He would have us to do. We're not going to get it. We're not going to see it if we're foolish prophets and foolish people. We're not going to see it. And I want to see it. Not enough just to come to church. It's not enough just to yell real loud. I want you to get Jesus Christ. I want to see them. I want to see it. I want to see lives changed. I want to see Christ upheld. And I want to see us get right with God. If you have a doubt about something in your life, give it to Him. It's probably not right. Give what you have to the Lord. Let Him use it. See Him work. That's the only way we're going to get closer to Him, is by giving it to Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for this morning. Oh God, I don't want to offend anybody in the whole wide world. I really don't. It is not my agenda, nor my plan, nor my thought to make anybody hurt or to make anybody mad. I just want to make us think the way that the world is going right now, it's not the right way. It's not Your way. And God, You're not pleased. And God, all we should want to do is please You. All we should want to do is hold You up. And Lord, I believe many of the prophets across the nation right now couldn't care less about what You think. I believe many of the preachers across America couldn't care less what the Bible says. I believe many preachers across America just want to sell books and just want to tickle people's ears and just want to make everyone feel good. And God, I'm going to tell You, the only way to feel good in this world is getting closer to You. So Lord, please help us today to get closer to You. Lord, please let the people know I love them. I really do. I want this world to know that we're Christians. And that we're not ashamed of it. Lord God, help me to never be a foolish prophet. Help me to have a desire to see You work in miraculous ways. Lord, help me to have faith enough to realize that You're already working in miraculous ways. And let me be in tune enough to see those things happen. Lord God, I don't have to see to have faith. I really don't. But that doesn't mean I don't want to see the excitement of God working. Lord, please allow our people to let God work. Let me allow You to work. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say, you know what? I know 100% sure that if I were to die today, that I would go right to heaven to be with the Lord. I know that I'm saved. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You are a sinner. Whether you like it or not, you're a sinner. You have things in your life that you ought not have, and you're a sinner just like everybody else in this room. You desperately need a Savior. You need that Savior to go to a place called heaven. There's a place called heaven. There's a place called hell. If you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you go to hell. That's what the Bible says. There is no between, no purgatory, no, there is an afterlife. I don't care what people say. There really, really is. I know there's guests here today. You must understand you will go to one of two places for eternity. You either go to a place called hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, or do you go to a place called heaven? That place called heaven is a place prepared for them that love God and them who are called according to His purpose and them that are saved. That's what it's for. It's for the people that are saved. He's prepared a place for you. Now the question is, have you accepted Him? You're a sinner. He's a Savior. You need Him. I hope and pray you accept Him today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say, I know 100% sure that if I were to die today, I'd go right to heaven to be with the Lord. Could you put your hands up real big and tall? All across the room. You may put them down. How many can say, you know what, I really don't know, but I sure would like to know. I would like to know. It's not about you, it's about Him. He loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you're going to do, doesn't matter what you're doing right now. Jesus wants to save you. That's why He came. That was His sole purpose of coming, was to save them which were lost. So how many can say, you know what, I really don't know that if I died right now that I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? I really don't know, but I'd like to know. Man, I hope and pray I'm talking to a group of Christians today. Jesus Christ loves you so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why He came. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for the honor and opportunity that is to preach Your word. Oh God, please again, I don't want to offend anybody. Lord, I just want to proclaim You. So Lord, please have Your will and way throughout this invitation. Oh God, please have Your will and way in this invitation. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may stand.